Welcome back to The Trendline from the SiriusXM studios in Washington, D.C. Here's Kristen Soltis Anderson.
I'm joined now by Rich Tao. He is president of Engages, and we have him on the show every month as he is going through talking to voters who are Biden-Trump voters. So they're folks that voted for Donald Trump in 2016, then for Joe Biden in 2020. And every month he comes to us with insights from what these voters are thinking about the key stories in the news. This month, you talked to these voters a little bit about political extremism, but then more importantly, in my view, the way that AI is going to change the world. Rich, thank you so much for joining me.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me back.
So really high-level takeaway, what is the big headline for you coming out of this conversation with these swing voters on these topics?
Well, on the extremism side, it was very clear that these folks were not happy with the abortion decision coming down from that Texas judge. They thought that that was out of bounds. Half of my group were pro-life, and even they thought he had gone too far in not allowing the FDA to continue to approve that abortion drug. There was a lot of frustration with the whole sort of argument that Donald Trump has been making about the prosecution. They thought that he was going way overboard. They don't think that he's being persecuted for being prosecuted in New York City. They don't think that Republicans in general are being attacked or being targeted for attack by the Justice Department. They don't want to get rid of the FBI and the Department of Justice. So there's just a whole sort of like anything that sort of smelled like it had gone over the top for them. They just felt that it was just way too much. And so there was a lot of frustration in that group with what they viewed as extremism.
Well, let's talk a little bit about AI. So a shift in direction,
sure.
But certainly there's been a ton of news and tons of big changes and advances in terms of AI in the last just couple of weeks. Tell me a little bit about how you brought this topic up with your respondents.
So, you know, my bias in focus grouping people is to not assume that they know a lot. So I always start off by asking them, well, what have you heard? So I wanted to know at the beginning whether they had heard of the term AI or they had heard of the term artificial intelligence. And it was very clear to me that there was at least a passing familiarity with the concepts of AI and artificial intelligence. So that was sort of the starting point. Then I asked about who's heard of an app called ChatGPT, 10 of the 14, these were all Pennsylvania Trump to Biden voters, I should point out, from across the state. 10 of them had heard of ChatGPT, 4 of them had actually used it. They had used it for some things at work, a couple of them had sort of just goofed around with it. And then I wanted to better understand sort of what they thought of it, if they were able to get a better sense of what it could do and to sort of level set with the group. So we did a few demonstrations with them. One demonstration was I asked them to give me one person to give me the name of their favorite sports team and their favorite year from that sports team's history. So, and I wanted it from different years. So I had one person suggest the Philadelphia Eagles from a certain season versus like the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Steelers versus the Philadelphia Phillies, so that the ChatGPT could do a comparison, a compare and contrast exercise. So we had them do that in each session. We did two sessions, each with 7 people, and automatically ChatGPT came up with, in 150 words or less, a description of how the teams were similar in terms of their winning records and some of the contrasts in terms of the differences between the sports and the different leagues and the different years. And it was, I think the respondents thought it was pretty impressive. But then I did a second exercise with them, which I think got them a lot more interested, which was this whole exercise where I said to them, you know, we did this on April 11th. And I said, you know, yesterday was the 53rd anniversary of the Beatles breaking up. So I want to ask a hypothetical question and show you what ChatGPT produces. So the question was, based upon the actual songs released by former Beatles in 1971, the year after they broke up, if the Beatles had remained together in 1971 and put out one album, which 12 songs would be on that album? And lo and behold, ChatGPT kicked out a list of 12 songs. It covered all four former Beatles. These were all very well-known songs. And that's where you heard the audio response of them that I think that we have queued up if you wanted to play it.
Yes, let's go ahead and take a listen to what our respondents, and these were some of our younger respondents, what they had to say about seeing the AI produce this content.
My impression of the AI stuff is really it's just supposed to like simplify word processes. I don't think it's going to make, you know, it's not going to be the next Shakespeare. It's not going to be make like art that's going to last through time.
I like the technology from what I see. I mean, from what I read, there's still a lot of flaws in it. But just as a basic tool that's out and for it being free at the moment, it's a good tool.
Now, you also had some older respondents in your group. Let's take a listen to what they had to say when they got to see this AI technology at work.
Amazing.
That's crazy.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
It's next level technology that I wasn't expecting to see yet in 2022.
I'm just still shocked. I mean, that's crazy. I'm amazed.
Impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive. Something I didn't really think I would see in my lifetime.
So this is pretty incredible. I mean, for many of these respondents, just being stunned at what is possible. How many of would you say that the overall view was one of excitement and optimism, or was it one more aimed at, oh gosh, this seems really transformative and maybe kind of scary?
Well, that kind of split 50-50 in the group. I actually want to point out one other thing. Those people reacted, the clips we just played was after not only did we show them that list of Beatles songs, we had ChatGPT turn those songs into a poem on the spot. So I want to clarify, they were blown away not just by the list, but the fact that the software could turn that information into a poem within a matter of seconds. But the thing I would say is we asked them whether they thought the technology poses more promise than danger or danger than promise. And to your question, they basically split 50-50. There were definite worries among people in this group about what it could do potentially. And I think they saw it more in personal terms about what it could do to affect their lives for good or for bad, less than sort of broader societal implications.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the economic implications. You know, when I think of the way that something like ChatGPT or this generative AI technology can affect my job, you know, on the one hand, it can be really helpful for making sure that, you know, have I messed up any of the sort of logic commands in programming a survey? You know, it can help out with programming tasks. It can help me synthesize or summarize, you know, large amounts of information. And I say, hey, I want to test the five best messages about, you know, why Republicans should care about climate change. And it can provide me, here are what, you know, five things to test. And I don't have to send a research assistant out to go, you know, pull together reams and reams of material. At the same time, it makes me a little nervous. If a computer can write a survey questionnaire, or even scarier, if AI can become the survey respondent, which is a big thing we're having to worry about now in the polling world, you know, to what extent are these respondents we're getting in polls online actually real people? That's going to get harder and harder to suss out. But let's listen to what your respondents had to say about the potential for job loss as a result of AI.
I work in supply chain management. A good AI could do my entire job. So not just me, but my entire team.
And how do you feel about that?
As a 50-year-old female, it's a little scary. I mean, there's not a lot of jobs out there once you start hitting that over 50 age range.
I mean, that analysis seems correct about lawyers and I am a paralegal. I'm glad I went to go work for the government. I'm less worried now. But I mean, that's true. I mean, if it can take huge chunks of data and churn out a memo and supporting documents in, you know, 30 seconds, you know, why would you spend money on someone that's going to take them at least, you know, 45 minutes, an hour or more? So that is alarming. And I know other people that are in the field. So that is alarming.
I'm actually in the customer service field. And I think that, you know, it would displace a lot of call center jobs. But I think, you know, I guess still be ways that people can adapt to it, in my opinion.
So I'm fascinated by this because on the one hand, it seems like there's a lot of really obviously scary implications, but it also strikes me that there are some things that can make working easier. If you're able to eliminate some of the grunt work from your job, can you actually free yourself up to do more creative or interesting things? Tell me a little bit about what your takeaways were from that conversation around AI and the workplace.
Well, it's this balance between wonder and worry. That's the way I would describe it, which is, oh my God, I can't believe it can do these things. This is amazing. Versus, well, wait a second, if it could do these things, what things that I'm doing will it take away from me, including my job? So that's the balance that they're striking. And it's so early in the process, they have to familiarize themselves more with what it can do, I think, to have a more accurate view of what the potential upsides and downsides are. But I think also a lot of it is they're not yet familiar with the broader conversation about how this could affect the overall U.S. economy, how it can affect white-collar jobs generally beyond their own. You know, I think they can see, like, because I asked them, for example, who's concerned that AI technology could replace the job of someone you know? 9 of the 14 said that they were concerned about that. Mm-hmm. And that's where you heard some of the comments that you just played. So I think they can get the localized view of this. I think understanding that there are people who are saying, you know, this could lead to a complete meltdown of civilization, sort of the warnings coming from Elon Musk and others. That kind of thing that they're generally is not on their radar screen yet.
Yeah, my next question was going to be about the intersection of AI and politics. It is very likely that the 2024 presidential election will be influenced by this technology. You're already beginning to see, at a very kind of rudimentary level, it can be used to generate, you know, fundraising emails. I have long said that people overreacted to the whole Cambridge Analytica drama in the 2016 election because it presupposes that you could have, you know, 200 different messages targeted at people's psychology. And realistically, most campaigns are not cooking up 200 different ads. With generative AI technology, you can cook up 200 different ads with very slight variations and deliver them to people who, based on your analysis, would be most receptive to them. So like a lot of the things that people thought were happening in 2016 but weren't, now very much so are possible. In addition to just fake news, I don't mean that as a, you know, the Donald Trump pejorative for, you know, coverage that he thinks is too liberal or too hostile to him. I mean it as you make a video of Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis or Joe Biden saying and doing something they did not say and it going viral. Was there any concern about this, awareness of this, any discussion of how our elections might be affected by AI?
Unfortunately, I did not have time to probe on that topic. I would like to do that and will do it in future months. There's just so many different ways this could go. And I was just particularly interested in the legal, I'm sorry, in the employment side of this. And so what I did was actually one person you heard reference lawyers and paralegals. We showed them a list of 4 different types of jobs, clerks and operational staff, lawyers and paralegals, accountants and bookkeepers, and graphic designers, and had a little blurb about how jobs could be affected in each of those 4 sectors. And I think that's what prompted some of the concern when they started realizing, oh my God, this could affect me or somebody I know, because I know people who do these things. Wow. So I think part of it is just showing them where the impacts can be and then having them realize this is going to happen. But Kristen, to your point, and I'm dying to know this, I mean, obviously we know how people in the upper Midwest have responded to job loss and jobs being shipped to China and to Mexico and how that's played out politically. And I found in focus groups over the years, I don't know whether you found this also, people have a much, much easier time understanding that a job was shipped to another human in a different country than they are dealing with the idea that their job was taken over by a robot or a machine. That is something that they find extremely difficult to understand and to internalize because it makes them feel insignificant. And I think that's what I'm very interested in better understanding going forward is what happens when suddenly ChatGPT is able to do 85 or 90% of your job. How do you feel about that as a human being that suddenly you have been rendered unemployable because a machine can do what you can do for a minuscule fraction of the cost?
Yeah. Well, Rich, I'm so grateful that you came on the show today and that you were tackling something a little bit out of left field, but that has huge implications for the future of our politics, our economy, and more. So thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.